Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Vic Slayton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting.
So, welcome to Comedy Arcade. This was going to be a Welsh special. because before the last set of lockdown, I had a studio and everything. It was going to be really legit. But now it's just me at home on a Zoom call with a microphone I bought from Amazon. So listeners, if you think the quality has dipped, it has. But the guests are still good. but the sound quality is homemade. It's rustic. This is a rustic podcast.
Artisan.
Yes, handmade to go with my boutique audience. So who have we got on today? Player one is, I've been trying to get them for ages. Andrew Neil played the game when it was comedy, a slightly more aggressive comedy roulette, but it wasn't very aggressive at all, so I had to change the name. And that was a Twitch game we played over the summer, and they were very good at it. And so I desperately wanted them to come back, and the stars have aligned. Andrew, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm feeling very slightly delicate due to the longest podcast, the longest booziest podcast recording I've ever done last night. So, a 12:30 record seemed very civilized when we booked it in, and then when I woke up bleary eyed this morning, first thing in the afternoon, this is savage.
I put you on the later one. I was like,
I know, right? Thank you, I appreciate it.
Some people had to be like up and about for 10:30. And dynamic.
Yeah, yeah. Now that normally that wouldn't be a problem because I've had my body clock realigned by the intrusion of an 11-year-old into my life. But yeah, last night got really carried away with competitive queen knowledge.
Well, this will not be a 3-hour record because I've learnt via the last 10 episodes of podcasts that people don't stay till the end if they're too long.
Yeah.
So this will be a whistle stop tour compared to that. And underneath you in the Zoom, Andrew, you couldn't possibly know that, but I can see it is Stefan Evans. How are you doing?
I thought I was a bit cramped.
Yeah, you're on the bottom there.
Well, to be fair, that's a consistent sort of position for me for life, so I'm happy with that.
How are you doing? How's life been for you?
Fine, yeah, I'm still alive. This virus has not killed me yet, and I don't think it will, personally.
At the time of recording.
At the time of recording, yeah.
Any of you were to die, I've got to put these out. There's no margin. I'm doing this on a weekly basis now. There's no margin.
Can I get a posthumous award?
You would.
That'd be nice.
I reckon we'd get coverage.
Yeah, why not?
Heartless podcaster puts out episodes. I do it. I tell the story myself. and next to Stefan, we have got sometimes Alan Saunders and sometimes, as is now, the resplendent Connie Orff. How are you doing?
I'm all right, Tar. I love that we're measuring how we are these days by I'm still alive.
Haven't died.
That's just a benchmark now, isn't it?
Yeah. What level of hangover? How dead are you inside?
That's it. I'm still alive. Therefore, we're doing all right.
Yeah. I think we're going to make it, guys. We have to. There's no other choice. Right.
I think we have to. How else will we get paid, innit?
Well, without further ado, let's get to the balls then. I've got real balls.
Wonderful.
I know.
Zoom balls.
I invested in a more expensive one when I got to episode 10 as a treat, but I don't like this one as much. That's probably not going to make the edit because that's really boring information.
keep it in.
And the ball is petty grievances.
Oof. You know what? I'm already on one. I think about petty grievances. Do you know what? My latest petty grievance is reviews, sod reviews.
The English listeners, reviews.
I'm not sorry if you don't understand. Get a grip. I'm up 3 miles away for some of you. Do you know what I mean? Yes. Reviews are really doing my head in. I think I've always had a bit of a love it. We love reviews when they're really nice. And when reviews are really horrible, we're like, oh, well, it doesn't count anyway. So they don't know what they're talking about.
Have you recently had a bad review?
No, I haven't, but I mean, my anger projects that I might have, isn't it?
Yeah, there's definitely a vibe.
I got into it. I saw, I think it was a Guardian or something, a theatre review, and I was like, excuse me, who do you think you are putting out a 3-star review for someone when they've got out of bed, they've got some money together, they've put a play on, and they're doing things? How dare you? Oh, excuse me.
3 stars is a gentleman's one, isn't it?
Well done for putting this show together in a pandemic. 3 stars. Get a grip. Go away.
Nothing less. I will not rate lower than 3 stars in an Uber unless they literally kill me. Genuinely, I've had some near-death experiences. I'm like... 3. All right.
A friend of mine just said they're enjoying reading people dismissing Paul McCartney's new reading dismissals of Paul McCartney's new album by people who haven't written Helter Skelter.
That's a lot of people.
Also, you know, you Paul didn't McCartney. Wake up with yesterday in your head. You are not in a position to besmirch the work of Sir Paul McCartney.
I haven't listened to it yet. I probably won't. It looks like it's not going to cheer me up.
We just need things that cheer us up now, don't we?
I think so, broadly.
Not reviews, especially not 3-star ones. Oh, go away.
Not comedy either, though, because I don't like to see people doing better than me either.
Oh, come on, we're into it now.
Well, you know, like reviews of the year, and it just reminds you that people are achieving things. I don't need to see that. I don't need that kind of negativity in my life. And then they do it for charity, so you're not allowed to be jealous, but I am.
I'm slightly annoyed that having announced through lockdown that I've changed my pronouns to they, them, Eddie Izzard has now completely eclipsed that. Well, thanks very much.
That was my news.
I've
announcing you're pregnant at someone's wedding.
Exactly right. I've been in that shadow my entire career, and I thought, finally, something that's me. Oh, no, right. Here she goes.
Are we still here?
Yeah.
This is nice. Yeah. I thought we'd all frozen. I thought, it must be my Wi-Fi. It must be the Cardiff Wi-Fi. But no, it didn't work.
We were waiting with bated breath for what you had to say.
Oh, yeah. Well, my petty grievances are people that don't flush the toilet after they're done. Ooh. It is bordering on caveman, especially a wee. If someone wees and they leave a really yellowy Mountain Dew thing in the toilet. Like, why would you have the nerve to walk away from that problem you've caused for someone?
Is there some kind of big dick energy about walking away from that? It's just so rude. It's disrespect, because apparently when your cats don't cover what they've done in the litter trays, because they don't respect you. So I feel like it's an extension of that.
My friend accidentally shat in his cat's litter tray when he'd had a few too many.
Accidentally? Because that's a pretty good coincidence.
Well, it was next to the toilet, and unfortunately he had a cab on it. You know, like had a lid on the tray. So he autographed 2 little slides on the way down the flap. So, you know. People are drinking during lockdown, which is always good.
It's convenient, but it's not ideal.
I don't want to make Stefan hate me, but I did once not flush on purpose in protest.
That's fair enough.
All right, tell us more.
Well, I...
Defend yourself, you animal.
No, it's because I got poisoned. I was out for a meal in a restaurant and I checked, I've got an egg allergy. Oh, I don't need your sympathy, it's fine. and I checked, is there egg in this meal? They said, no, there's no egg in this meal. I ate my meal, there was bloody egg in it. And I knew straight away, because I had a sore throat, and I knew that I was going to see my steak and chips again. There was no egg in the steak or the chips, it was in something else. But off I went. I had to go to the toilet then to be sick, because they'd made me ill. And so I left it there for them. I thought, there you go. That's what you get.
That's a tip.
That's my tip.
So you're banking on the fact that the person that gave you that information is also cleaning the toilet, not someone, not like a cleaner who's you know, their job is to clean toilets. They've pretty much had, they're at the bottom of the career ladder, and then they've gone, oh, hang on a minute, for no good reason at all. I've now got to clean up someone sick.
It was at least in the toilet, so it could be easily flushed, right?
It was in the toilet. And then I feel a bit less mean.
I was hungover in a work meeting once and I had to leave the meeting 10 minutes into it and I was sick, but I didn't quite make it. Because, you know, sometimes when you see the toilet, the process starts.
Yeah.
You're not quite in. And I just projectiled all over the cubicle of this fancy bank that I was working for. And I didn't know what to do about it. So I was trying to clean it up with squares of tissue paper as best I could. And I genuinely thought, I'm just going to walk out here and... I was quite new to London. It was like my fancy PR job. And I was like, I've got this. Yeah, I'm a girl about town. I was like, I'm going to have to go home to Wales. I'm going to have to walk out here. Never come back.
Straight into the sea.
But it was genuinely, I managed to get it broadly cleaned up. But by the time I got back into the meeting, about 10 minutes had passed. And they definitely thought I'd had a shit. And no one could talk about it. I thought the meeting would have carried on without me. They waited.
Oh, wow.
So I slid in and they were like, I didn't poo. And it was a moment where it's like, would I rather them think I was so hungover I was sick, or let them believe that I was the kind of person that left a meeting, a professional meeting, to have a poo? And... no clarification was needed, apparently. And I looked down, I had like a cowl neck dress on. I looked down halfway through the meeting thinking I got away with it. And there were some like just peas in there. Cradled in the cowl.
Take away.
Yeah, so...
Where were the toilets from? The toilet wasn't like adjacent to the meeting.
It wasn't in the next room, no, thankfully. Otherwise, there would have been no question what I'd done.
An ensuite.
Yeah. Just me rumbling around in there, they keep me like on hands and knees pulling endless squares out of the toilet roll dispenser. She's having a breakdown. She's from Cardiff. We don't know what to do with the Welsh people.
Yeah.
I just turned the cowl in. Just turned it in. made that a problem for later. Anyway, the subject was petty grievances. I don't know how we got here.
Got on to spew in. Yeah. It's always a good way to start a show, isn't it?
It is. It can. I don't know where it can go from here. But
I've had more toilet activities now, haven't I?
So we've shamed Alan for taking petty action against what was a low-paid worker.
I left my review. There you go.
That is your review. I knew doing Welsh ones was a danger.
It turns into the toilet.
Balls. And it is children.
Yay.
Couldn't eat a whole one.
I'll dive straight in here.
All right.
Yeah, a year ago, I had my life ruined by the most delightful human I've ever met. Due to a family tragedy I haven't found a punchline for. I moved to Milton Keynes to raise my then 10-year-old, now 11-year-old niece, Lyra. She is, yeah, the very greatest thing that could possibly hope to ruin my life. I mean, she's great. Milton Keynes, on the other hand, completely unacceptable.
Yeah.
I mean, travelled to every corner of this country doing stand-up over my career, and this is probably literally the bottom on the list of where I would ever consider moving. It's like I'm at like the top parts. I'm in New Bradwell's like the top part of Milton Keynes. So it's actually like it pre-existed the new build of, so, you know, I live quite a nice Victorian terrace. But like the way I get looked at here is because they don't do non, you know, basically anybody like me tends to move out of a place like this. And so
not in.
Yeah, exactly right. I sort of expected a certain amount of hostility to my gender presentation, but it's not that, because we've moved on, because it's 2020, and you know, there's a kind of benign acceptance. It's like people look at me the way people look at a new £20 note. It's like, oh, I heard we were getting these, you know. But I hadn't actually. This is the first one I've seen. You know, it's like 40 money, isn't it?
So how chilled is Lyra then about gender and pronouns? Are you just, she's oblivious.
She's superb at it. And
give us
and,
hope.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's, yeah. She just does, like, that's the thing, because with kids, accept things, you know, for the state that they are, and so yeah, she's really groovy about it, and she's quite proud of saying, I am a girl, but I also like to do lots of things that boys do. And it doesn't matter that girls can do things that boys like to do, and boys like to do things that girls like to do. And she's just got like, yeah. Could you just tell everybody in the whole world that that's... everybody chill out about it, and we can just... And then we can move on, because it's like... Because all of us on that spectrum are so bored, or most of us are bored of talking about it, and bored of it being an issue, and just kind of want to get taken for granted, you know. I mean... You compare her then to my mum, who really, you know, literally my Christmas card was to my son. You could have got one that didn't have son on it, but no, you've gone for it. But my mum still genuinely calls CDs tapes. So
it's going to take a while.
I'm just not going to, you know, she's not, you know, she's in her mid 70s. She realistically, she's not got that long left. So I'll just put up with being called him for a little while. So she slips off, you know.
Oh, it's like when you get into those conversations with older people. Like, I nearly ruined a wedding arguing with somebody about, I don't mind gay people as long as they're not in my face. And I was like, but what are they doing in your face that you find offensive? Like, let's talk about this now. And my mum's like kicking me under the table, hard on the ankle. I'm like, no, we'll talk about this now. I've got time. Put the roll down. Let's chat. What are they doing? What is it you don't like? Let's break this down. They also have some fruity opinions about women vicars, though. So very equal opportunities in their small-mindedness. So which is almost a comfort. But yeah, it's fine, apparently, as long as they don't do it in their faces.
Like the women vicars or the gays?
Yeah.
Both.
Both. There was some suggestion that the woman vicar was only in the vicaring industry for the house. Because it's a particularly nice house. Coming round here, taking our clergy houses.
Not just extrapolating wildly from the Vicar of Dibley, like.
Yeah.
Genuinely baffling. They didn't like the vicar before either, though, because he made a joke in the Easter service about ass, like Jesus riding on an ass, and then he did a little giggle. They didn't like that.
No sense of humour.
That was it. That was it for him. His cards are marked.
Serious male vicars only.
But not funny ones. Nobody treats the job with humour.
No ass jokes.
I just had the idea of the vicar's pulpit with like a car horn on it. And just but like completely straight face, and every time there's a double entendre in any of the reading, just that'd be amazing.
I would go to that.
Or if he doesn't get a laugh, he could just go, oh.
Yeah, a trombone on the other side.
I'm really sorry for the audio-only audience who aren't catching sight of Vic's just taking little swigs of champagne straight from the bottle every now and again.
It's Tesco's own, though, so don't worry. I'm not doesn't giving myself matter. Graces.
The old Chateau shit.
What is it?
Gotta love it.
Champagne Premier Cru.
Really?
It must be nice. It's got Premier in the title.
Yeah, it's like, same as taxi numbers, that is, isn't it? Yeah. Premier taxis, Premier champagne.
Yeah. What is Premier? Is the sevens?
Or the fives in
all
Cardiff.
The fives, yeah. All, yeah. All the threes, Dragon Taxis.
Yeah, yeah. Other taxi companies are available. We're not the
BBC, shockingly. BBC aren't interested in this. They're not returning my calls.
Oh, there we go. Done.
I'm finding it difficult to enjoy the drinking in a day Christmas thing, because it's felt like the bit in between Christmas and New Year since March.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually need the break.
It's a Gooch year.
Can we pretend it's the beginning of the year again?
Yeah.
Back to school.
I've been a stay-at-home teacher dad since March, basically. So my life has changed completely. It was great at first because I was like, oh, this is a novelty. I'll show those damn teachers how bloody easy it is. And all these lovely ideas of, you know, we're going to do art and we're going to do music. We're going to learn to read. I was going to say I didn't do any of it. Actually, I'm quite smug. I did a lot of it. we did, you know, we had a lovely time. But then now life has kind of returned to normal in massive inverted. And then it's gone back to not normal at all again. But like work deadlines are still on, whereas before work deadlines were like, no, never mind.
Yeah.
It's on hold. It's all okay. But then everyone got to this really stressful point about a month ago where deadlines were still on, but the kids were still at home, or back at home for me. And we did have a lovely... I think I'm really lucky that my children aren't dickheads. I mean they're
not true of all children.
No, you know?
That is such a roulette wheel, isn't it, what you're going to get?
I know, yeah. That's one of the reasons I don't want one, because people are like, oh, it's fine when it's your own. It's not. Like, no. I'd like to think I would recognise a little asshole with my face.
Problem is the parents who don't recognise that their kids are arseholes. I'd like to think we're not the kind of parents who think our children are angels. Like, if we're ever asked to have a little word at the end of the day with the teacher because something's not being quite right, then we are the parents who go, yes, okay, we'll discuss this when we get home. And depending on who the teacher is, we'll take their advice on board, and sometimes we'll go, just don't worry about that. Just don't be an idiot, okay? I remember getting asked, though, like, Dad, does it hurt to put makeup on? And I remember saying, no, only on the inside. Filled with, like, people are like, do your kids know you do drag? Of course they bloody know. I've got 7 or 8 wigs on top of the wardrobe. I've got drag everywhere. If they didn't know, it would be, like, quite a weird, dirty little secret.
Yeah, that would be a sinister house they're inviting their friends to without the context of drag, wouldn't it? Just, like, disembodied heads.
That discovery.
Bath full of dye that looks like blood.
like a very niche sort of superhero.
They just think a strange, colourful woman comes around once a month.
It's quite mainstream now, though. Like drag, in a way that it never has been. Thanks,
how
RuPaul.
How dare you?
Yeah.
not traditional British drag, though. The more lip-syncy variety.
I know. I really want to see more singy drag. That's what I love about Cardiff, is there's a lot of singing drag performers out there, drag queens. We haven't got many drag kings in Cardiff. We've got some bio queens. Like it's diversifying, a very, very predominantly white mind.
About that.
Are you in control of that, Stefan?
No, unfortunately,
are you signing them off? Or?
Yeah, no. I'm to blame as much as anyone. I'm just in the way. I know it's okay. I'll get out the way very soon.
Holding the door.
Yeah. But you know, I'm a beta male, so I don't think I'm going to be in the way for too long.
Oh.
Definitely, people go, get out of the way. Okay, sorry.
What is it like being a straight white man in comedy when you're the biggest joke of comedy?
Yeah, I would say I've worked very hard my whole life to try and not be that sort of dickhead bloke. And obviously, you know, it's probably given me less opportunities when it comes to certain things. But then, you know, you are bundled. I don't want to be bundled amongst these absolute knobheads. I don't like them. I don't like what they stand for. I stand for different things. I want everyone to be fine, you know. I don't care. Everyone to be happy. I don't like. I don't think that I should be any further ahead just because I pissed standing up or anything like that. I should be further ahead if I do the work. And it should all be impact and hard work, shouldn't it?
I invested in a shiwi when we were all having to drink outside, so now I too can piss standing up. So
that's
there we
amazing.
Go.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
I don't know why I've been holding out on that. It's very convenient.
It's great.
Was this one of your purchases? One of your like Instagram purchases?
Yeah, wish.
Wish. Like, yeah.
It wasn't what I thought I was buying, but it was very useful.
I'm genuinely interested in the amount of control you have. Could you write your name in the snow with it?
I haven't tried, but that can be my next task.
Yeah, please.
just put out a tiny fire.
Funneling it behind a lorry has been like the full extent of my experience.
That's amazing.
It's so, that's when inequality really hit me, when I was drinking with two of my mates outside having takeaway pints, and they just effortlessly went into the bush, and I had to go home.
Yeah, that's not good,
is it? There's just no way around it. I had to go home.
Not anymore. Does the Shiwi have its own carry-on bag or anything like that?
It does come with its own little case, yes. Yeah, so you can trap it away. They're not apparently they're not disposable, which I would have been my preference. Is not it environmentally, but I just don't think I ever want to touch it again if it's had piss in it.
Even put a hand sanitizer through it, you'd be fine. It's good to go another time.
Put it in the dishwasher.
Yeah, yeah. Do you get to shake it? That's the question, isn't it?
Well, I did, just to see what it was like. oh, it was fun. Anyway, the category was children, so I don't know how we got here, but
we'll move on. To bodily functions again. I can see a pattern emerging.
That is. It will. This will keep happening. Right, now I want to hear about your worst jobs.
Oh my God. I was an industrial cleaner in flats that hadn't been opened yet. Ooh. So I was getting paid. I was working 12 hours a day to scrape paint off metallic plug sockets and to wipe down skirting boards. That was my job every day. I was never on my feet. And then what we used to do is we used to do the whole day, and then you'd go back into this labour-ready office in Cardiff, and they give you like a card, and you put it in a cash point, and you get paid £47 a day. They take the tax off, and then the next morning back into scraping. I did 2 weeks of scraping paint off plug sockets. I felt like it was like Papillon or something.
Was that your worst job, or is that the worst job you've ever done? How good were they? How well were they scraped?
Oh no! I did a cracking job. I just don't think that I was paid the worth of the money I was in. You know, no. One day I brought my own blade.
You invested in your own tools.
I did. The ones they had weren't good enough. I thought, right, I'll go to the shop and get one.
That's like the plug scraping equivalent of taking your own snooker cue. Did you assemble it?
I used to do that as well.
We're getting a picture of you, Stefan, now.
Yeah, like a violin case. And I said, don't worry, I've brought one Stanley blade in this giant case. For like Antonio Banderas, just like higher cholesterol and like none of the looks.
Oh, that's okay. True.
Self-deprecating gets me everywhere, don't worry.
I think you look very handsome today.
Very much. You are drinking, though.
Yes, that is true. We can't rule it out as a factor, but it's not the totality. You're doing it right.
So I've got a casting account on Spotlight, which for anybody who doesn't know, Spotlight is like the catalogue of working actors. And, you know, they used to publish books of these things. They used to publish books, but now it's all online, and you go online and you search for, I'm looking for a male, female actor. Now there's a new gender category and their new search function, which is really good. So it opens it up a bit more. Quite often I'll be looking for non-white performers, and I'll go in there, and especially non-white performers who speak Welsh, you look in there, people have some very interesting ideas about themselves, let me tell you.
Tell us. That is literally why you're here.
I'm like, people think that they look Hispanic. I'm like, oh, hun, no.
That's just an orange foundation, Bebs.
There are a surprising number of Welsh actors who think that they are Eastern European looking. You know what?
You need to send us some of these.
There are some shame on you, Welsh actors, who think that you are Mediterranean. No! You're not! We are not! I sit there making these noises on my own at the laptop, like, no, you're not.
You need to set up an anonymous Twitter account and just tweet these out all day.
That's an excellent idea. Can we do that?
What skills have you got listed on yours then?
Oh, me. God. Well,
who do you think you are?
Many years ago, I think I was very liberal with my skills. I definitely decided to remove violin from my CV after turning up to a musical theatre audition. It was an actor musician job. I turned up with with my own clarinet. And the first thing that they said was, "That's not a violin."
Driven what?
Clapham.
Shit, is that not what this is?
What I was hoping for was this fantasy where I knew they wanted a violinist. I practiced on my sister's violin for a week when that sounds absolutely shit. Like, this is, I had my grade 4 when I was 12, and that is all. And that was a long time ago. So I rocked up with my clarinet, which I'm much better at, thinking this is going to be one of those great stories where I go, well, I auditioned on the clarinet. They wanted a violinist, but I turned up, played, and they were like, yeah, do you know what? You're in. That did not happen. That really did not happen.
Did they let you play? Or did
I played approximately 3 bars of my piece.
Before they realised it wasn't a violin?
Before. They were much quicker
than
that.
That's not bad. They were like,
we'll stop you there because we really need a violin. You need a violin. Okay, thank you very much for your time. Goodbye. And then I drove home from Clapham, and that was a long
day. Home to Wales.
Home to Wales.
Oh, yeah. No, you really fucked that up. That was a hell of a gamble to drive with your clarinet from Wales to London.
Paid off
for a violin audition.
Oh, terrible time. So I have removed violin from the CV. For clarity's sake, innit?
I really love the venom directed at white people who think they look Mediterranean. When violin player and clarinet. Come on. They're both woodwind, aren't they? No? What?
They're both made of wood. They're made of
exactly
wood.
Right.
It's fine if I do it. It's all right, isn't it?
I spent a month before one of my early Fringe runs doing, and I've worked in Dixon's on High Street, and I've done, like, I spent a summer cleaning a factory because it was moving out and things moving in, you know. And they have their own ups and downs. But the worst job I ever did was by far charity face to face charity fundraising for a month. And this is like, I'd spent quite a lot, I've been sort of doing comedy full time, needed some extra money for the Fringe. And for a start, physically, you know, it's on your feet all day, on concrete. I wasn't quite used to that. It's the only job I've ever done where people actually will cross the road to tell you to fuck off. Right, you know, you there. And you do it in all weathers, and it's like, and it genuinely works. And it does, you know, people criticise it, but it does make the charities money, and that's why the charities pay for it. But the companies are dodgy, and it's basically a really, really high pressure sales job. And I'm rubbish at sales, right? Completely rubbish, as my career proves. Rubbish at myself, and but basically what would happen is I'd approach someone, and there are all these techniques like eye contact at a certain, saying hello at a certain range and that sort of thing. Most people who encounter me, you know, hey, nice tats, fuck off. Or nice ink, that's the worst, nice ink. But I'd go, so we're raising money for this cause, blah, blah, blah. And people go, yeah, not interested. And I'd sort of go, yeah, well, that seems fair enough. At that point, I would always give up.
You're right.
Because I'm a bit of a people pleaser, and I've given you the information, you've made a decision about it, and then what you're supposed to do is like cross-examine them for all the reasons they have, and then overcome, like, that really high pressure selling.
Why do you hate nanas?
Yes, right, yeah. Really? What, really? You're literally going to let these people die? And there was a guy who was my boss on for like the second half of a week. And he was really good at it. And that's why he was the boss. And
Is it a pyramid scheme type thing?
Yeah. And he was on a lot of money. And he was such, like, he quite stands out among everyone I've ever met, like a proper psychopath. Like, and he hated me. And he was really nice to everybody else in that really social manipulative way. And I am I'm convinced he's either in prison or he's a millionaire now. Like, or maybe both. I don't need that. Like, and then to top it all off, at the end of the month, the company collapsed and we didn't get paid.
Oh.
So, you know, there was some sort of government reimbursement scheme where you got, like 2 years later, I got like 10% of what I'd earned from it. But yeah, the company just, and because these companies are really, really dodgy. It's basically, the businesses are a scam. So yeah, I cried.
I cried. Of course you did.
Literally all for nothing.
Oh my God. It's one of the rules that you, like, that when you start speaking to someone, your knees have to, like, just fall apart.
Hey, guys. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, guys. That's right. You have to do that. That is absolutely.
I fall for the compliment every time, though, because they're told to say something nice about you. And every time I'm like, yeah, I got it from Bowden. Like, it's bad. And then I still walk away because I've got no soul. No, I only walk away from charity muggers because odds are I've already signed up from someone who was more good looking.
Yeah, fair enough.
I've got 4 or 5 direct debits going out from devastatingly good looking people that I could not say no to. It's a superpower. Andrew, I would have bought from you.
Oh, why, thank you.
I got
the one sale I got was we were outside Selfridges. Can you imagine that? People who shop in Selfridges.
They are not charitable.
But this guy, this absolutely massive guy, and I went because the first part I'd given up, but like, do you work out? He signed up. But I was, and also, like, I now have absolutely zero sympathy for anyone doing that job, having done it. I will just tell him to fuck off.
Because they're the worst people in the world.
Look, I've done this. I know how bad the job is. You know, other work is available. Like, work with, you know, there's work with more dignity. It's available.
They were the first people back. I did my last live gig beginning of December, which feels like a million years ago.
Yeah, it does.
And they were on Upper Street in London. They were back. Nature was healing.
What was the charity?
Something life. Absolutely unrelated, donkeys or something. Like, it wasn't even relevant.
Life finds a way, Jeff Goldblum.
Life does find a way.
Compliments don't always work, though, do they? Like, they, I know they're back.
Well, it depends what it is. If it's you're sexy despite your dad bod, no, apparently not.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It nearly worked out. Like, 2 weeks ago, my husband and I went walking into town, and we walked past one, and he went, hey, are you father and son?
Which one did he think was father and which one's son? Because that's 50-50. One of you would have been happy with that transaction.
Yeah. it's much safer not to know. We didn't even invest in the conversation. But it crossed my mind to go, I'm not going to get into that. There's 2 months between my husband and I, and like I just went, I'm not going to enter that conversation.
You knew, yeah, but you knew, didn't you?
No.
You knew which one he was referring to. I don't believe you. You walked away going, I look great.
One has their hope. When, you know, in that brief second where you entertain the conversation, you go, did they mean it? I don't even want to, because what if they didn't?
That's a follow-up conversation.
I have genuinely considered running a course for homeless beggars on pronouns, because when I've really, really made an effort and I'm getting mate or, you know, sir, I kind of like, I'm, look,
you'd make it rain, would you?
because you know, if you manage to spot that, it's, and you know, it's unfair of me to make that a priority when someone is, you know, very, very, very thirsty for heroin, but you
know. Gasping, starving for heroin.
I've recently my money, like, because obviously beggars have to, like, if they just ask you for money, it's going to be a no. So they do that thing where kind of going, it's the same with charity mugging, you know, can I just ask you something? And I was have to go, I'm in a hurry. Is this about me giving you money at some stage? I haven't got any cash on me. Because that's cashless society. Beggars are.
But they will take you to the cash point if you're weak-willed, I found.
Good-looking homeless. Yeah.
I'm just very weak-willed. I'm like, I haven't got any money. And they're like, but my wife is pregnant. And I'm like, I've heard this before from you. But I'm like, okay, I will pay £10 for this conversation to be over.
There was a guy who used to be outside Euston Station all the time when I worked at UCL, who would have the same story about how he needs to get to Liverpool. And I once said, did you not get there last month then? Oh, what? Yeah, because we had this conversation last month. I'm hitched to the Edinburgh Fringe twice.
Wow. How long did that take?
The first time it was almost annoyingly easy. The second time,
were you hanging around?
Make this more of a story. The first time was sort of three lifts and I got dropped just on the outskirts of Edinburgh. The second
one
time,
journey.
Like, pardon?
They took you all the way.
It was three lifts. So one guy took me to Luton, another trucker called Brian, who was amazing. Jonna Juice, he was incredible. and he meant Coca-Cola. Jonna Juice, and he was amazing. And he told me all these things about the road. So he goes, all the traffic's going to slow here because it's a hill, even though you can't really see that it's a hill. And then it did. And it was like reading the weather. It was amazing. And then the second time, it took a lot longer, and I ended up staying this bloke's house in Newcastle.
That took a turn.
Yeah, well, it was like one of the most naive dudes I've ever met. Like, really innocent and lovely, and he's like, so I'm wearing like a Slayer t-shirt and a cut off denim. He's like, do you like rock music? Yeah, and he goes, I love it myself. And he put on like the same record 10 times, and then I stayed in his house, and he goes, if my mate that lives with us asks what's going on, just say you've split up with your missus. So I'm on the sofa. His housemate comes down, and I just pretended to be asleep. And he gets up in the morning, this truck driver, and he goes, he puts on his tape of Emmerdale Farm he taped the night before. He goes, you ever watch Emmerdale Farm? I never miss it. He's going, so this fella's sleeping with his lass, but his wife doesn't know, right? And then he goes into this shed. He goes, come and see my drum kit, right?
this story's about to take a turn, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got a drum kit in a little shed, and he's got like his Download t-shirt from the Download he went to 2 years ago on the wall. Like I went to a rock thing once, and he starts playing, and he's like, and I can drum, and he's proper rubbish. And I was like, do you want to go? I was like, nah, you're right, mate. And then he dropped me off in Washington, the Washington in the Northeast, not DC. There's been a few where it's taken me just, you know, hours and hours and hours to try and get picked up. But
how many people was he bringing home from the road that he had to give you a backstory while you were there? like his housemates had a conversation with him, hasn't he? He's like, this has got to stop.
I mean, I did notice that the garden had been recently dug over, but I assume. A new patio. a new bumpy patio.
Oh.
Giant molehills.
Yeah, don't worry about the wriggling.
That is such a good accent as well. I felt like I was watching Big Brother for a minute there. I think we're on to the last ball. Unbelievably. Because we've got nothing done. No. I stopped keeping score ages ago.
Yeah.
Just having a nice time. What is your favourite fact?
Ooh, the human tooth is 36 calories.
No way.
Mm-hmm. 36
calories. Yeah. Do you have to like chew it though? Otherwise, it'll just come straight out, right?
Yeah. If you break it up a little bit and, I don't know, maybe make a pesto out of it or something, that'll be all right, won't I?
Oh, tough pesto!
Tough pesto.
Really not happy with that. Gives it a bit of crunch.
Yeah.
I've got one that will make nerds feel old.
Okay, we're ready.
Next year, the new Doctor Who has been on for as long as Doctor Who was off air in the middle. So it's the same amount of time but from next year to the first Christopher Eccleston episode as it was between that and the last Sylvester McCoy story.
Oh. Yeah. Well, that's horrible.
Isn't it? We are very close to the
grave. Do you think that's going to rack you up points there? Making me feel bad about myself?
Yeah. Racing towards death.
Yeah.
I said, no, you don't strike me as nerdy enough, but that's, you know, that's maybe I've misread you.
I mean, that's rude, considering I have just started a really nice new campaign with Dungeons & Dragons after a hiatus, and I'm annoyed that the alignments don't exist anymore. That is quite a rude assessment you made of me there.
I have failed miserably and will leave meeting immediately.
I mean, if I'm not chaotic neutral, what's the point of playing?
I spent a very long time being a bit scared of cats on the street in case they turned into giant leopards on horses. Cheetahs, sorry, on horses, because of one of the last Sylvester McCoy Doctor Who stories.
Survival, that is the last one. That is the last
one. That was the last one?
Yeah, yeah, Survival. Written by Ronan Munro, who went on to be an amazingly successful playwright, and also has a cameo from Hale and Pace.
Oh my God!
So Andrew's just pissed all over your facts, but have you
but if anybody
got any more?
Think about Hale and Pace, right? If anybody thinks that comedy is anything like a lasting, you know, that's got lasting memory, Hale and Pace are still alive.
Oh no!
What are they up to now? Panto, I'd imagine.
Singing the stonk. Let me tell you.
I've got to say though, they did a parody of the William Tell Overture when I was much, much younger. I used to watch a lot of comedy as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I still think that is like peak funny. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I thought they were good.
Like, diddling, diddling, were good. Like every time I hear that, I'm like, Papa Doms, Papa Doms, Papa Doms, Doms, Doms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you've got to credit it for that kind of to get into your head as a child. And I held them up as an example as like the funniest thing I've ever seen. So like, I had a brief spell of Ben Nelson as well. That went away quickly.
But Hale and Pace were like, they were sort of like a working class rooted version of the alternative comedy thing. You've got kind of like Fry and Laurie and Hale and Pace. And sort of yin and yang.
Yeah.
Like Home Bargains and Marks and Spencers, isn't it?
That's right. That's exactly it, yeah.
There's a place for both. I think that's what we've all learned.
did you know that in 1962 in Tanzania, but I bet it was, I can't remember what it was called, Tanganyika, I think it was called back then in 1962, there was a laughing epidemic which took over 1,000 people and it lasted a few months and they had to close 14 schools.
No, I did not know that. who started it?
Hale and Pace.
I did. Yeah,
it was basically, it was like the coronavirus, but much kinder. So they still shut the schools, but like people were just laughing.
Just couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah.
Were they putting drugs in the water? What was going on? Like,
well, that's
how did you hear this fact and not want to find out more?
We were being questioned on the fact. It was just about, you know, what the fact is.
You just heard that and went, that seems legit.
That's the one. I believe that. I'm not going to fact check it. I'm just going to...
Boil the magic, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If you don't believe, you won't receive.
apparently it does become a thing and it happens every now and again where there's just a laughing epidemic where there are side effects that people faint. Obviously, people got quite ill. Like I think that's better than, you know, ending up on a ventilator, isn't it? To be fair, mm-hmm.
I would take it if we could swap it. I would take.
Tell you what though, the homeschooling will be a lot more difficult under those circumstances. Sit down and do your maths. Maths isn't funny.
Well, do you know what? It started in a girls' school. That's where it started.
No surprise.
Somebody saw the PE teacher naked or something and they just went from there. Before camera phones.
Well, if you come away from a naked PE teacher just laughing and not traumatised, we'll take it. We'll take it.
Yeah, that's positive.
In the times that we're living in.
All the loss we can get, epidemic or not, isn't it?
Well, normally I would tot up the scores at this point, but I genuinely did stop because I was having a nice time.
I think we're all winners.
Yeah, so go around and talk to me about what you're doing. So, Andrew, what are you doing?
I'm making stuff on my Patreon. So if you fancy dropping me a couple of quid every month, then it's patreon.com/AndrewO'Neill. And if you want to see the stuff that I'm giving away for free, just look up Andrew O'Neill Comedy on YouTube and all my stuff's on there. But some of the best stuff I hold back for my patrons.
What's the Rolls Royce of Patreon?
I think my top is £25 per, so I do it per thing. So you can do a pound per, and I usually do two, I don't do any more than two things a month, and you can do a cap on it. So yeah, so it's a pound a thing, and it's all the same. It's basically how it's to each according to their ability. Basically, everyone gets the same treatment because people who really dig what I do but don't have much money should have access to the same stuff because capitalism isn't fair.
Stefan, what are you doing with your life?
I'm guessing I'll mainly be burning all my possessions to keep warm. probably, yeah, burning my roof, eating World War II ration packs, and doing literally anything for money to survive.
Yeah, because you do a show as well, don't you? Tales from Wales.
We do. Yes, we're gonna crack on back with that in January, February time. So I do that with a wonderful man called Drew Taylor. So that's the only sort of online relevance I have. Everything else is just going from supermarket to supermarket and falling asleep. That's
where I first found you, though. That's on my bucket list of things that I want to do. Yep. When I started comedy, I had a little list of ideas of things that would be like my little benchmarks. So there we are.
Consider it done.
So who's on the back catalogue?
The one we've done already. So we've got GLC, Goldie Looking Chain. We've got Steve Spears, the actor who's been in like Pirates of the Caribbean, Star Wars, all that kind of stuff. We've had loads of comedians off the South Wales scene. And there were some sports people. We've had a jiu-jitsu black belt. We've had loads of people. We had Boyd Clack. It's been.
I don't know who that is, but I love his name or her
it's
name.
Really funny. He's a celebrity in Wales.
You'd know him if you saw him.
Yeah, definitely.
Probably would.
And yesterday he pushed past me to go into Home Bargains in Roth in Cardiff. So and he did not recognise me, even though I spent 2 hours of my life in the same room as him. But good on him. Best
nice. And Connie stroke Alan. Does Connie stroke Alan?
Not yet.
Drinking on these was a bad choice.
That hasn't become one of my things. But I mean, mainly stay at home, teacher dad, doing some writing. I'm writing a trilingual play, which is in Welsh, English, but mainly in BSL.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, collaborating with an actress called Steph Back and Taking Flight Theatre. So learning a lot. I'm not a BSL user, so it's an opportunity because I do speak Welsh and English. We're creating this thing and it's moved online from being a theatre piece. It's moving online and it's just really exciting to be making that and learning a lot about the parallels between deaf world and Welsh world. And people think they're better than other people in both those worlds, which is really interesting. Very political. And now some people will inevitably hate me. And if you don't, then I'm on Twitter tweeting all my thoughts and opinions at Connie.
You really do not hold back either. You're a joy to follow.
People think this. People think I don't hold the back, but honestly, the things that stay in my head and don't go on,
I can only imagine.
They're dangerous. So I've always got my husband filter on, which is like, would Chris allow me to tweet this? No, I'll leave that one there. Okay, yeah. I'm on Twitter, share stuff on Facebook, it's Connie Orff. And Instagram, I mean, some people are really good at Instagram, aren't they? I'm not. I just chuck a bit of paint on and go, I'm doing a thing. And then just try to have a nice time. And
you've gutted you're not on Drag Race UK. What happened there? I thought you were shooing.
Didn't fill in the form, did I? I was too busy. I was running late. I'm very excited for that. I'm very excited. It looks quite mixed. I think Drag Race season 13, the American one, has got its first trans male performer, which is just, you know, we're starting. It's taken a long time, but we're getting somewhere. It's getting diverse. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to do, but we're doing what we can, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I didn't keep score, but I've got to say the winner for me was definitely that hitchhiking story from Andrew. So I'm going to declare you the winner because that was anecdote of the day because I can't have this be a draw. No. People will never compete again. We'll just all chat. So,
my violin is gutted.
I'm happy just to take part.
Yeah, Stefan Stanley knife is also destroyed. But this has been an absolute joy. Thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for listening to The Comedy Arcade. There'll be a new episode next Thursday with new balls and new guests. If you liked it,
Like us anywhere you can and subscribe and tell all your friends. Also, tell us. We're in all the usual places on all the social media. And if you didn't like it, this is The Guilty Feminist. How did men get on here?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.